Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about a new feature that is now rolled out to Google Pixel smartphones. This is called Night Sight. Now, Night Sight is a feature that significantly improves low light photography on the Google Pixel. This works on the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 3 and even the original Google Pixel. Now, this feature is not something that is grounded in AI and machine learning as has been the theme of most of Google's camera features. But to talk more about this, we have the person who has tested this feature in depth with us. That is Deputy Reviews Editor Royden Sarejo.
What's up, everyone?
Yeah, we also have the in-house Pixel enthusiast, the one whose heart bleeds pixels, Aditya Shenoy.
Yeah, Pixel for life. Oh no, it should have been hashtag Team Pixel.
All right, never say that again on this podcast. And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. All right, so Night Sight, as I introduced it earlier, the reason we are talking about Night Sight on this podcast is that it's just mind-blowing in terms of the results that you see. Now, ordinarily, when we review the low-light photography features of any camera, we expect a lot of noise, we expect grainy pictures, and we expect generally the results to be not that great. And everyone in this entire world hates flash on phones. You know, you use flash at night, everything looks just completely burnt, and the background gets, you know, almost disappears and all that. So Night Sight is a solution that sort of fixes this by drastically improving low-light photography. Now, you can go to gadgets360.com to check out an article in which we've put detailed camera samples where you'll see that the actual photo has been taken in almost complete darkness, and yet all items such as, you know, various objects, things in the frame, people in the frame, their skin tone, their color, everything has been reproduced accurately after Night Sight was enabled. So Royden, how does this magic work?
Yeah, so at first it just seems like some sort of witchcraft, you know, because it manages to brighten up scenes that even you cannot like see with your naked eye clearly. But when you actually see the photograph, it's like a completely different, as if somebody has just turned on the lights. So essentially what it's doing is basically a form of slow shutter photography. So as you know, in traditional photography, if you want better, cleaner, low light shots, you basically simply use a longer shutter or a slower shutter speed.
Yeah.
But with that, obviously you need to use a tripod, because the longer the shutter is open, there is a higher chance of, you know, blurring if you even with the slightest movements.
So handheld, you will have a blurry shot.
Yeah, so handheld, it's practically impossible to get a single shot with this longer shutter speed. However, Google, they've smartly done is they've basically used algorithms that they already have been using for like HDR Plus and their new Super Res Zoom feature in the Pixel 3, where anyways the camera, as soon as you hit the shutter button, already takes a series of shots. It takes a bunch of frames at one go. And then sort of merges them together to give you the best result. So essentially, Night Shot is sort of a tweaked version of that to focus mainly on brightening up the image and reducing noise.
Yeah. So low light photography seems to be the main focus with Night Shot.
Yeah, so like the name suggests, it's basically meant to brighten up still photographs. And it works best for obviously non-moving objects, because it is taking multiple slow shutter frames. So you ideally, things that are not moving will appear sharp and clear. Obviously, like vehicles, or if you move about in the frame, there would be some motion blur, because even if you have 15 frames and if there is motion in all of them, the end result will not give you a still image.
Yeah. So I think Google also in its algorithm uses this method where it eliminates a blurry photo, right? Just in order to make the overall image more accurate.
Yeah. So according to Google, so what they say in the way Night Sight works is that out of the frames that it captures, again, and the number of frames depend on how much of light is around. So if there is sufficient light, it doesn't need that many frames. If there's lower light, obviously it'll take longer because it's capturing more frames. But up to 15 frames is what it captures. From those 15 frames, it will discard frames which are maybe too noisy, or maybe if the object is not aligned properly due to your hand movements or the subject's movements, it will just get rid of those frames because it's not needed, right? It's not going to align with the rest of the subjects. The image is short. It'll give you a slight blur or ghosting. So it just gets rid of the frames, and basically that's what it does.
Yeah, so since, you know, before we go into the technical details which I mentioned earlier about AI and how this, you know, thing is different from that, can you maybe do the worst possible thing you can do on an audio podcast and describe some of the pictures you've taken and how they drastically changed?
So I think so we were testing it out yesterday on the balcony, me and Aditya, and as the this side of the building where we are at, there's like pretty much there's no light, there's no illumination at all except from the neon signs in the opposite building.
At what time did you take these pictures?
So this was around 8 maybe 7:30 8 o'clock, but that's quite dark. It's like incredibly dark, and since there's no light source, you know, like taking from like taking a standard photograph, you can barely see anything in that photograph. Yeah. And with night sight, because of the way it processes the image, like it's literally like as if there is like a bunch of light sources above us, and you know, we have taken it in a well lit environment.
Yeah.
So it's, even though it's bright, you can still make out it's night, because what Google has also tried to do is not, you know, completely take away from the scene we're actually shooting at. Like, you don't want to make it look like it's shot in the date, that shot was taken in the daytime, because that would be quite misleading and quite confusing for many people once you share that image. So, for instance, like, if it does brighten it up, but again, to a limit. Like, you know, night won't seem like it was taken in during the day. Like, that shot wouldn't seem like it was taken during the day. It would seem like it's taken at night with a long exposure.
Hmm. So basically, like, the only easier way I can describe it is when you're shooting without night sight, it just, you can see the outline of two people. Like when we tried taking
pretty much, just a silhouette of us.
So
yeah.
So just like game characters before they unlocked, and after the night sight result,
that's a good one. Yeah.
So you could see us very clearly, and that's a significant difference, because we tried it. We tried shooting one photo without night sight, one with night sight on only, and one with the screen flash.
This is for the selfies.
Yeah, this is for the selfies only. Yeah. So, and with the screen flash, the one other thing I also liked was the screen flash was not very bright, and it wouldn't hurt your eyes when you're clicking it in low light. And the output, so the best part about night sight is, after you're done clicking a photo, you can immediately click the output, and then you can see it transform from what it's been clicked, and then the algorithm kicking in and the output.
Yeah, so once the image is actually saved, there is some bit of processing that also goes on in the background. And if you quickly tap on the gallery, you can actually see it going from a noisy, hazy image to clear, you know, a really clear, crisp image once the processing is done. So that extra bit of processing is basically where Google is using this new learning-based auto white balance, because getting white balance in, especially low light, is quite a challenging thing for any photography or any camera, basically. So this new learning-based algorithm is basically needs to be trained. So what Google did is they actually clicked pictures using the Pixel 3, took those pictures and put it on a color calibrated monitor, and manually adjusted the white balance and made the Pixel 3 learn that this is what the white balance should be. So they did this for like a multiple huge set of photos.
Wow.
Which is why we've tested it on the 3, 2 and the original Pixel. And if you notice that the white balance and even the exposure is always slightly better on the Pixel 3 compared to the older phones.
Yeah, so this is something that, you know, really interests me. Essentially, the way you describe this whole process, it seems that the involvement of AI and all has like not been there in this one at all. It's not machine learning. It's more like the human hand-holding the machine and teaching it that, okay, this is the white balance unit.
Yeah, for the white balancing part, there is some bit of human intervention. But other than that, yeah, there's absolutely no AI. All of this is happening locally on your phone. And it's just basically algorithms and physics at work here more than anything else.
Yeah, so what's stopping maybe other manufacturers from copying this feature or implementing it in their own?
Absolutely nothing. I mean, there is there's no stopping anyone from implementing this, because now Google is able to bring this out sooner because they already have a good backbone to fall back on. Like HDR Plus has been there from the first Pixel, and is basically just building upon this framework which they created, you know, of capturing multiple frames. Now this year iPhone has Smart HDR, which does a similar thing. It takes a bunch of frames. There's absolutely no stopping Apple from releasing a similar low light feature next year where it does the same thing.
Yeah.
But anyways, even now we've seen like modded APKs of night sight already available for other phones. So I don't think it's going to be hard to implement it on other phones. It's just that what I can think of is it might be a little buggy. Like you might have the app crashing. That's about it, because it's primarily made for Pixel smartphones. You can pretty much sideload it on another smartphone, make it do the same thing.
Yeah.
But it probably may crash. But
I'm pretty sure if Google wants, and I know they won't do it at the moment because they want to sell more of their Pixel 3 phones. they can easily bring this over to a vast all majority Android. Of Android phones. Because if you think about it, like, it's great that they've brought it to the Pixel 2 and the older Pixel, but even if you collectively put all three generations of Pixels and compare them to the reach that other Android phones have, it's still a very small minority, right?
Yeah.
So I hope that Google eventually does release this to OEM so they can integrate this into their own app rather than having two camera apps.
Yeah.
Is my thing. Because, I mean, they already did it with Lens. Like, now you have Google Lens natively in all phones, like most phones, like Samsung has it and all. And even AR stickers has come in, LG has them. That was, I think, one of the first phones to have it.
So I think what they can do is get it on phones at least that are part of the Android One program, if not put it in the...
Yeah, I think start with default. That. Yeah. Right?
Because Android smartphones, you've seen that it's the manufacturers who have to put in that extra effort to make the camera better.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Because the stock software itself, you have a very basic camera layout and out, like the app over there. So I think it's going to improve photography on Android phones as a whole. And that is something I think Google should... like, look at the bigger picture and consider doing that sooner than later.
Well, I am going to take the contrarian view here and say that Google is not going to bring this to other smartphone manufacturers, because its Pixel line is now being increasingly looked at as a premium line with like a lot of distinguishing features that make it different from other Android phones. So now, if it wants to sell its Pixel line of phones... the feature you mentioned earlier, Google Lens, the reason it is there on every other Android phone is that, you know, Google can sort of mine the data and sell it, use it for advertising and all that and make money from that. So if you look at the night sight feature, I don't think there's anything Google can do here to, like, you know, make money from that feature as such.
Probably
it's
not,
premium feature that is best used on, like, you know, Google's own premium phones. And then to bring it to other, like, budget phones, then what's the difference? I mean, what would be the reason for people to go for a Pixel over, you know, any Android One phone which costs, say, 10,000 rupees? It may give you better results slightly, but then if the night sight feature is there, it's such a headline feature, right? It makes, like, your low light photos look so magically good.
True. That's
why would Google... What is the motivation for Google to bring it to cheaper
phones? To make Android better slightly, and that will mean most smartphones out there, more data.
Yeah, no, I mean... I see what you mean, Pranay, but yeah, there's absolutely no reason for Google to do that. It's just something that I wish they would do.
Yeah, so even if you notice, the Pixel ROM is not available to other manufacturers, right? Currently, the Pixel ROM is a completely separate thing on its own. The Android open source project is a different thing, which is far beyond behind actual Android right now.
Yeah.
So what Android One program, the manufacturers, what they get is already not the Pixel ROM. And this is one of the headline features of the Pixel phone and the ROM, right?
Yeah.
So I don't see any motivation for them to bring it. But what I do see happening is companies like Samsung and OnePlus, among others, even Oppo and Vivo, by the way, all these companies, and Huawei, not to forget Huawei, which is like a pretty good one in Android cameras as far as the P20 Pro and the Mate 20 Pro are concerned. So these companies will implement their own version of the night sight feature. Now, whether they do it as well as Google or not, that is something that, you know, we'll see. It's a complete speculation. But I am about like 99% certain that, you know, this feature will become mainstream in pretty much every smartphone. By this
time I'm sure many will try and mimic this night sight feature next year.
Yeah, because even the Mate 20 Pro, when I was...
I think the P20 Pro.
The P20 Pro, yeah. So the P20 Pro had a really good camera, especially in low light, that was capable of clicking better photos than the Pixel 2 as well, primarily because it would take multiple, long exposure shots and then stitch it together. So I think it will be able to catch up very easily with the whole night sight algorithm.
Yeah, especially since this is mostly physics based and like them just cleverly implementing basic features like, you know, selecting the correct frames, stacking them on top of each other, and obviously eliminating blur and all that. So even though this feature, like, it takes about 5 seconds on the older Pixel and about 3 seconds on the Pixel 3 to capture one photo in that night sight mode.
No, so actually the processing time is not that different. Yeah, the older ones are slightly slower, but it's not massively different. Like even the newer ones, it all depends on the amount of light and
the amount of photos that amount the phone of photos has to
that
click.
It has to click in that moment. So it's, I don't think like CPU power is a bottleneck over here.
Yeah, so either way, like, it takes a bit of time, but my understanding is that the processing happens in the background. Like, once you click a picture, you can start clicking another photo pretty much immediately.
While that is finishing up the processing in the background. Yeah,
so it does. There's no hold up here. So that way, the way they've implemented it is really good.
Yep.
My only wish is that, you know, they had not skimped on the RAM in the Pixel 3.
I mean, only year. Time will tell if that's really going to be an issue or not. Yeah. Because, I mean, yeah. it's just been like, what, a month?
Less yeah, it has been. But, you know, if you think about it, like, they're thinking of pixels as a long-term thing right now.
Fair enough,
the original pixel is still supported.
Yep, yep.
So 2 years down the line, when the pixel, whatever, 5 is out, hopefully, at that time, if people want to use some latest feature that comes in, the RAM might become a bottleneck, you know, at that time. So this is exactly the kind of feature for which you need that RAM, you know, for doing multiple things. So now you click a picture, like a bunch of pictures in NightSight quickly, and then you go back to playing your game, whatever, PUBG or whatever game you're playing at that time. So then, you know, your older phone, just because it is old and, you know, slightly bottlenecked by these decisions that Google made, it should not be held up. But otherwise, like, I'm actually pretty impressed with the way Google has implemented this feature. And what I am worried about is that some of the competition will only bring this to the premium end of the spectrum. So I don't think the likes of Xiaomi and all are motivated also to implement this feature in their extreme budget lines, like, you know, in the sub 10,000 rupee price bracket.
Yeah.
Now, Apple, knowing Apple, most probably what they'll do is they'll implement this and it'll be there on next year's iPhone, but not on this year's iPhone XS, which is, you know, pretty much how Apple has been operating in the recent.
Yeah.
Smart HDR is not there on, you know, the iPhone X, right?
Yeah, it's not.
So that is one problem. And then Huawei will also be like motivated to bring this to the P20 Pro, sure, maybe whatever camera phone they launch next year. Samsung will bring it for the S10, but not maybe for the S9. That is what I'm worried about. What I would like to see is this technology trickling down to the lower end of the spectrum, but I don't see that happening for another 2-3 years at least. And that's something that, you know, really bothers me. But do you think, I mean, you know, and Royden, you are the one who reviews cameras and all. So do you think you know, this will make DSLR manufacturers also rethink how the camera captures photos in low light, or will, you know, those people be continuing to focus on what they are best at, which is letting you decide how much ISO, shutter speed, etc. you should do?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, the DSLR manufacturers are paying that close attention to this. I mean, it's I don't think they're gonna like change their way and adapt to what Google is doing, because I don't see how you can get that kind of processing done on a regular DSLR, what you can do on a smartphone, because there simply isn't that kind of processing power in the
available
camera, right? So I don't think it's gonna matter that much. And anyways, most people who would have or opt for like proper cameras would come equipped with tripods and stuff like that. I mean, I see your point. Like, it would be super convenient, you know, where you don't need a tripod at all. But I don't see how this feature would translate to regular cameras.
Yeah, so this is a bit sad, actually. Like, while the smartphone industry, like, every year it's pushing the boundaries for portable photography, the camera industry is sort of, like, in the standstill. So, you know, we've already seen that the middle market is completely gone. The prosumer market and the market for point-and-shoot cameras is more or less dead because of smartphones.
But actually, this year, it's a very interesting time because mirrorless is suddenly huge.
Yeah.
Like, with Nikon, Sony, Panasonic, and I think Olympus also all jumping in on board to take on Sony, who has been in the market for at least 4 or 5 years in the mirrorless space. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, so that is something that, you know, I'm also looking forward to see, because constantly we see smartphones pushing the boundaries for cameras.
Yeah.
But what are cameras doing that may be implemented in smartphones? That's the question to ask. All right, so going forward, do you see like this kind of a thing coming in more in terms of like software, or do you think people will still need to have like really good hardware progression in terms of the sensors and all of that, and, you know, taking this whole smartphone photography thing ahead?
Obviously, since the hardware, the sensors are important, but you can only, I think, iterate up to a point, because if you want to have like a slim phone or a compact phone, which obviously everyone wants to maintain this, you know, sort of thickness and form factor, you're pretty much stuck with that sensor size. And in that sensor size, there's only that much you can do. There's only that much light you can bring in. There's only that much clarity and details that size of a sensor can capture. If you want more details, you will have to go for a bigger sensor, which does mean increasing the size of the phone also. So I think it's going ahead. It is going to be software driven mostly, because like I think Google has really set the bar here, because this is the third generation and they're still sticking with that one camera. While if you've seen the new Nokia 9 renders, the rumored Nokia 9 renders, which has some
five penta camera setup,
penta camera setup, which is just ridiculous. So It's definitely like, I mean, like Google is, I think, just like, you know, it's like a proof of concept, their Pixel phones. It's like, you don't need that kind of advanced hardware. You don't need a big fancy dual, triple, or even quad camera setup. If you have good software, that can more than compensate for the lack of hardware.
Yes.
So I think many people are going to focus on the software experience more than just cramming in more hardware, because there's only so much hardware you can pack into that much, that kind of silicon to fit in your hand comfortably, right?
Yeah, unless, you know, you have some kind of a, you know, attachment or something, which...
Yeah, I mean, people have tried that, like Project Ara, like, you know, crashed and burned, and then even the Red Hydrogen came, which is like a humongous phone, but the cameras were just meh, because they're just basically using off-the-shelf cameras.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see, like, where this goes next year. But for now, I'm actually pretty pleased with the results here. So, Aditya, why don't you talk about, like, one moment where you, you know, saw this thing, one photo where you saw this thing and your mind was completely blown, or one where you were disappointed a bit?
No, so the selfies is, like, right inside. We were testing it yesterday on all three smartphones. We went to the balcony where there's no light, like, absolutely no light there. And clicking it on all three phones, the main fun factor is when you've clicked the photo, click on the gallery image immediately. And you can see the transformation from what it could initially see and what it can see after the algorithms have kicked in. And that's a humongous difference. And I was kind of happy to see it on the Pixel as well. So a two-year-old device that can do it, like it's still capable of doing it. So I think it should trickle down to other smartphones soon if these manufacturers are looking to make their phones better. See, because when you look at phones that are under 20,000 rupees or even under 30,000 rupees for that matter, the processing power is there. Now, you know that the Snapdragon 636 that we've been talking about around the 10,000 rupees segment and the Snapdragon 660, they are capable processors. You will be able to get through all of your stuff without needing a Snapdragon 800 series processor. The only thing that kind of makes people want to spend a little extra is camera. And that is what I would want manufacturers to focus on in that particular segment in order to make photography better for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. So the processing power is there. Everything they need is there. But, you know, it's just about
the willingness to
willingness to do it. Because this is not a feature that will maximize your profits. Is
absolutely.
It?
Like, you know. But what I can think of is, If in case you are able to do it first, you might have a lineup of affordable, good camera smartphones. Because we have seen questions, we have seen people asking us, I need a camera, I need a smartphone under 15,000 rupees or under 10,000 rupees with a good camera. Because at the end of the day, people also, like, irrespective of your budget, you still want to capture memories. So I don't know why that's a barrier there.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see. I mean, how this goes. I'm actually like looking forward to this thing coming to slightly more affordable smartphones under the 15,000 rupee price bracket, as you mentioned. So, you know, fingers crossed it happens. All right. That's all we have for this episode of Orbital. And we will see you with another episode next week. As always, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you have any questions, comments or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. If you use one of these fancy apps such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts or any other podcast app, do rate our show, do subscribe to us and leave your reviews as well. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening and we'll be back next week.